Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Flesh want to stop because you want to do what you want to do, but it's the spirit that we have to follow the leading of the Spirit. We are so grateful that the Lord has allowed us to come back in here on today after Evangelist Cameron delivered a very powerful teaching word on last night, talking about one Lord, one baptism, which is the powerful teaching. But this morning, we want to talk about don't be deceived by the deception of the world. And we want to go in the book of 1 John. And we might jump back and forth, but let's start in 1 John, the Epistle of John, chapter 2, and let's just start at verse 12. And he begin to encourage and give the church assurance of serving God, of living the truth, being in obedience. And this is something that we find is very difficult to find today. Preacher was saying on YouTube yesterday that how so many leaders are allowing the spirit of the Antichrist to enter the church and do whatever they want to, as long as they give tithes and offering and they write the big checks. When the pastor wants to make some changes, they are the first to write a check, because the pastor is not bringing correction. He's not teaching some doctrine that would convict them to change from the lewdness and so on, that the lifestyle that they're living. So here John says, he says, I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you on account of his name, on account of Jesus. Hallelujah. We have not done anything. You have not done anything to be forgiven. Jesus did it all at Calvary. So John is speaking this thing with such power and such authority that they understand that, hey, don't puff yourself up. Yes, you have a PhD. Yes, you have a BA. Yes, you have an MA. You have a doctorate degree in theology. But don't push your chest up, because the man give you that piece of paper. But Jesus gave you salvation. He gave you the gift of redemption, so you are redeemed from the pit of hell. Hallelujah. Because of the blood that was shed at the cross. Listen to what he says. I am writing to you, fathers, because you have known the one who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have conquered the evil one. You have so many elderly believers, and they heard the word for years, 40, 50, 60 years, but they have not totally given their hearts to God. And the apostles have to constantly remind them, it is not about how you dress, what you drive, or what you live in, or where you live. But it's about how you are living. It's about your lifestyle. It's about your worship to the sovereign Lord. We can say, oh, how much we love the Lord. We can say all day long, we hear people say, oh, I love the Lord, and I'm going to heaven. Don't care what happens. I'm not going to heaven. But when you look at their lifestyle, they are filled with malice. They are filled with jealousy. They are filled with contention. You understand what I'm saying? Because God is not looking at our sheepskin suits or our nice wigs, our nice dresses, nice shoes. He's looking at our hearts. He sees what's on the prospect of our hearts. The malice, the jealousy, the conniving, the backbiting, the lying, the cheating. It's all in our hearts. And God sees it. Jeremiah said, the heart is desperately wicked. God wants to change his heart. He wants to give us the right heart, the clean heart, and the right spirit. But we have to submit and we have to commit. John says, I have written to you, children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you. You have known the one who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of God resides in you. And you have conquered the evil one. What's the point of saying that you know Jesus and you don't live for him? The word of God is saying, I make you because you know him. And we can tell of how far we came. But we are not living to go further. We can testify of where he brought us from. But are we living to... Hallelujah. We have to live a life to live again. It's got to be that way. We can't sit down and get comfortable at where we are. We have to make a decision. Listen to what he says, verse 15. He said, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. See, if you put the world system first, it will conquer you. If you get so caught up in having to have a Lamborghini, a Ferrari, have to have a six-bedroom house, three and a half bathrooms, four car garage and all this kind of stuff, and two swimming pools, your purpose, interest, emphasis in getting those things, then put the emphasis up in serving the Lord, living for him. And this is what God requires from us. He said to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. All the things that you're hoping for and wishing for, God will give to you according to his will.
Praise the Lord, Apostle.
Thank you, Apostle. This is what God is calling for.
Apostle?
I've been working on this message for 7 days. Yes, sir.
What's happening right now with the recording is that it don't sound like it's exactly fine-tuned on the station. It sounds like it's like a little bit off, like almost in between stations. I mean, you can understand you. You can understand you, but it's not that fine-tuning like you have every day, you know?
Okay, let me use another speaker, maybe this Bluetooth.
Thank you so much, Apostle. Let me just use another Bluetooth and let me use my earbuds. Maybe this Bluetooth is a little bit distorted or something. Let me just go into this.
A little bit better as you're getting a little louder. That just
praise the Lord. Let me see what we get here. Let me put in this earbud.
Sounding clearer a little bit.
Okay. It was the Bluetooth. So we just cut that one out and do away with that for now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you so much. So this is a message the Lord wants to put over here.
That's
and
real.
I want
you
to get it out there. This is
better. That's pretty cool.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. This Bluetooth, the earbuds is much better than this system. Thank you so much. This makes it good. Yes. So we're saying that we got to live a life for God. Our life got to be completely sold out to kingdom building. It has to be completely sold out. Hallelujah, glory to God. I told my wife that I was so deeply in love with her. Nothing can change that. I told her I am deeply in love with her. Well, I don't have to keep telling her every day, even though I find myself, because I practiced that from years ago. I walk through the house and see her. I grab her. Last night, Evangelist Campbell was teaching her. And I just started talking to my wife in the kitchen. I was talking very sexy to her in the kitchen. And I forgot. I didn't realize the phone was off mute, you know. But I said, God, to God be the glory. Because somebody might take that up and say, well, that man loved his woman. He loved his woman. You know, I wasn't ashamed about it, but I was just a little embarrassed a little bit to know that the phone was off mute. And she heard that, so I told her I apologize. But we have to, this is the way we have to love God. It's not just in word alone. We have to show him that we love him. And how that we show that we love him, that we oppose everything that has come against him. Everything else that comes against the way of living holy, we have to oppose it. It's no if or buts about it. I can't deny my brothers and sisters in Christ that some folk don't care to be with us now, and we're not bothered about that. We're not concerned about that. We still pray for the folk that are not with us. We pray for them because while we have said in our past, we have said in our heart that we love the children of God. You can't become despised against the children of God because the enemy choose to infiltrate their minds. Still got to love them because Christ loved us when we were in the crack house, when we were in the whore house, when we were drinking, when we were cussing, he still loved us. The Bible told us that in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. He said, God commanded his love towards us that while we were yet sinning, Christ died for us. So we know this. So we have to take on the same characteristics, not just words. We have to walk it out. Let's go back to John, Epistle of John, chapter 2. I want to teach you this thing this morning. He says, do not love the world or the things in the world. I have a nice car. But I have a nice car, maybe the best in this area that in my neighborhood. But I'm not so caught up in the car that it's going to take me out of sync with the Lord. These telemarketers for the politicians call me all the time. But we have to be, God's going to let us have some nice stuff. He's going to let us have a nice home. He's going to let us have the best food. He's going to let us wear the best clothes. But don't let those things take you out that you think that you're superior to your brother, your sister, or you got this and that. No. You got to understand it's all about Jesus. All about what he's done at the cross. It says, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I mean, this is so plain. Because everything that's in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eye, or the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the arrogance or the pride of material possessions, it is not from the Father, but it's from the world. Verse 17 says, and the world is passing away, and it's desired, but the one who does the will of God remains. If your mindset, your actions, not only your mindset, your actions determines your mindset. Your actions determine your mindset. So whatever is in your mind, you're going to activate. You see somebody say, well, look, man, I got this strong desire to get high. I got this strong desire to get high. Man, the next hour, 2 hours, they're going to do everything that they can do, possibly can do, to get high. Wait till I thought he was part of the church, but man, look, he's going to be getting high because it was in their mind. If they want to fornicate, it's in their mind, and then they're going to activate it. If they want to curse, it's in their mind. And a lot of them will tell you, look, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. And then when you hear them open your mouth and say, I thought she was a child of God. I thought he was a man of God. Because it was in their mind. John reminds his audience that unlike those who walk in darkness, they have overcome evil. The desolation of children, fathers, and young men can be a synonymous use for rhetorical purposes. They might represent different age groups or be labeled for varying stages of spiritual maturity and or perhaps time in the Christian community. See, everybody is different. So the apostle is seeing them at different stages in their walk for God. He's seeing them at the different stages. We have to recognize that everybody's not at the same position and not on the same page. Some people believe that they're higher than everybody else and don't see what God is doing to everybody because he's working with all of us at the same time. He told them, verse 18, children, it is the last hour. We are in the last hour now, if you don't know. Israel is fighting Russia now. America has made a decision. They're sending troops to Russia because they want to kill Putin and they want to destroy Russia. There's a lot of corruption down there between the two countries, between Russia and Ukraine. And the United States is right in the mix of it with the corruption. So all this thing is happening because God wants us to open our eyes and see what's really happening. A preacher said this morning, bless me this morning. He said, one thing you got to stop doing is what this man is doing. It was watching this man. The man was a Catholic. And he said, watch and see the cross and the signs. He said, there's so many believers do the same thing. And what he says, look and see what he's doing. And I never paid any mind, Apostle. The man was standing, making a sign of the cross, but it's an upside-down cross. If you look at the measurement from the head to the chest and then right across with a little dot in the bottom, it's an upside-down cross. I never really paid any mind. Tell this preacher, sure. Young man, too. Young preacher. He said this is one thing that Christians need to stop doing because it's mocking God. I said, wow. You learn every day. Here in verse 19, he says, they went out from us. Listen. But they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out in order that it might be shown that all of them are not of us. Everybody that walks with you are not with you. Jesus had 12 disciples. One made a plan, not only made a plan, he betrayed him. He kissed them and betrayed him at the same time. Everybody that walked with you is not with you. Some people can say, oh, how I love you, Apostle. How I love you, Bishop. Oh, I love you, Deacon. How I love you, Elder. But are their words really truly mounting up with the action? It shows. How am I going to tell my wife I love her, know that I know better, my body is still healthy, I'm still active, and I'm running here, running there, leaving her home by herself. I'm not showing her. I'm telling her that I do. It's like us telling God, oh, I love Jesus. Jesus, I love you. We sing the song, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. And we sing that in the song well, especially those guys that, and ladies that have those nice melodic voices. It sounds good. But then when you see them walking or living outside of the church building, it's not showing that they love Jesus. Their lifestyle doesn't show. A lot of people can sing melodiously in the sanctuary, but they can't live it. You see, because your worship is not just on Sunday morning, your worship is your lifestyle. That's what you're worshiping. So when other believers see you, unbelievers see you, they can say, well, I want to be like that sister, woman like that. He said, let your light so shine that men will see your good works. That's your worship. And glorify the Father in heaven. That's your worship. We show off in the building because we want everybody to say, man, she can sing. He can sing, man. Oh, in the building. But outside the building, the singing gets fall to nothing. People see who we really are. He said, and you have an anointing from the Holy One. And you all know, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it. And because every lie is not of the truth. Some people will bend the truth to suit their objective, but it's not the truth. Because a half-truth is a lie. A half-truth is a lie. We have to speak the whole truth. Jesus said you should know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth makes you free. When you get it in your heart, it convicts us where we want to do wrong. Hallelujah. I've been at the borderline, at the crossroad of doing wrong before. I've been at the crossroad, I don't know about you, but the truth is I was right there to do wrong. And the truth come up inside of my heart and says, you can't do that, that's not you. That's who you was. Hallelujah. This is what the truth does. Hallelujah, glory to God. But I want to teach this thing here this morning. Oh, Jesus, help us. When we begin to meditate on the word of God, things happen in us. He said the word is passing away. An allusion to the end of the present age, which is characterized by evil actions. John declares that the oppressive systems of human society are coming to an end. John viewed the last days becomes more apparent in the remainder of the letter. As we begin to dissect this word, we see that the apostle is preparing the church to get ready. As a matter of fact, he's saying you ought to be ready because we are in it right now. He said that the spirit of the Antichrist is already in the earth. He's not here yet, but the spirit is here already in the earth. You look in Israel now, they got a man over there called himself the Messiah. And I saw him on YouTube at the Wailing Wall. And all these rabbis are kissing his hand. And he has a veil over his face like Moses. And they're claiming that, I haven't seen no miracles, but they're claiming that he's doing miracles already. This spirit is in the earth. Watch how the young people that don't know Christ Jesus, how they go after the satanic actions. All of the objectives of the Satan they're going after. Somebody sent me a picture, I saw it before. And now they say they have over 70,000 lives throughout the world now. That they can make babies in an incubator. And they say that this is good. It's good for the women that and men that can't have children. But they can take the sperm to this place and it costs thousands of dollars. And they can make the baby. I'm telling you, I was listening to it on YouTube this morning. I said, look, by men, these scientists want to be God real bad. They want to be God so much. But they can get you the baby just the way you want, design the baby for you. Computerized and all that stuff. And the baby comes just the way you want the baby. It's in an incubator. It's in some machine. And all these babies in there, they say they can make 30,000 babies a year in one lab. 30,000. Not 30,000. They have all these incubators like it looks like a stadium. I said, God, we are in the last days, people. And God is saying to us today and every day that we have to stay ready. We can't get ready. Because once Jesus comes in the cloud with the angels and the trumpet and sound, we can't say, oh, I want to repent now. It's too late. He's already, the sword is flashing from his mouth. The word of God is coming out like a two-edged sword, destroying his enemies, those that mock him and those who reject him. We can't get ready then. We have to get ready now. We have to prepare now. Now is the time of preparation. You don't wait till you go. You got to go to the examination and say, well, I'm going to study for the exam. You have to prepare for the exam. Without preparation, there's no revelation. You have to prepare the word of God. Listen to what he says. Then, my God, have mercy. He says, who is the liar except the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This person is the Antichrist. He's the Antichrist. I was looking at it in the dictionary this morning. And in the dictionary, it said that it's one who opposes everything that is Christ-like, the Antichrist. He opposes or she opposes everything that is Christ-like. Hallelujah. Well, you see, though, the Antichrist is here in Boston has made a Bible called the Queen's Bible. This billionaire Caucasian man bought this Bible factory because he wanted to, he's a homosexual, and he wanted to change the King James Bible to the Queen James, and he did. The Bible has the covering, the back covering is like the rainbow colors, you know, the colors that they copy. Because this is what the devil does. Jesus used the rainbow as a promised sign, a covenant sign between him and Noah and the world. Now they use it to mock God. It's their sign, it's their colors that they use, the LGBTQ plus one. They use it to mock God. See, he says, who is a liar except the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This person is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Jesus told Philip, if you see the Father, if you see me, you see the Father. How come it say you show me the Father? Jesus let them know that I and the Father is one. I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. We got to understand. Don't let them people cause us to deviate from the truth. Because that's what they're trying to get us to do, to deviate from the truth, to leave the truth and take on a lie. Hallelujah. Don't let them cause us to do that. Times are going to get rough. But when the times get rough, we know what happens. We stand flat-footed because Christ is there with us. Here, let's go back into this word. This is not a long word, so we're going to get it down here quick. Jesus, have mercy on us. Everyone who denies the Son does not have the Father. Verse 23. Either the one who confesses the Son has the Father also. Listen, as for you, listen, he's talking to the church. What you have heard from the beginning must remain in you. You remember when we was going to Sunday school and the older women and the older men were trying to convince us of loving Jesus Christ, of the work that was done at the cross. They tell us over and over and over that Jesus is the first, the last, and he is the life. They tell us that he went to the cross, that he shed his blood, that he was nailed, pierced, and crowned for our sins, that he died on the cross, that his body was taken down and was put into a tomb, a borrowed tomb, and that the Father rose him up on the third day. They taught us that when we begin to go to Sunday school, so that we understand that we are serving a risen Savior, not a dead Savior. He's not in a tomb. He's not in a box somewhere. He's not locked up in a cell somewhere. No, he's alive. He's in heaven, and he's in your heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, my God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Here, and this is the promise which he himself promised us, eternal life. That's verse 25. Verse 26 says, these things I have written to you concerning the ones who are trying to deceive you. Remember, we're talking about, don't be deceived by the deception of the world. And this is what the world is doing to the young people today. From the White House to the outhouse, from Congress to the Supreme Court justice, to the police department, the fire department, they're all trying to deceive you. Hallelujah. A pastor just got locked up for preaching Jesus in the street in Canada. Was just put in jail for preaching Jesus. Hallelujah. Now in Israel, they just passed a law that is, and it's against Christianity. If you try to preach to anyone in Israel right now, the law has just been passed. Concerning Jesus Christ as the Savior, as the Messiah, as the way to, is the way to eternal life, you will go to prison. They will put you in prison for 2 years, minimum. We in the last days, people. This is why we're going to be persecuted. and you have to rejoice when persecution comes. Don't say why they're persecuted, because you're preaching the gospel. Why not you? They hang up Jesus on the cross. They nailed him up. And they didn't nail him to his palm of his hands. They nailed him to his wrist. They had to go to bone. Then they nailed him to his toes. They went to his instep with solid bone. You could hear the bone cracking as the spikes was going through him. Hallelujah. He suffered for your sins, for my sins, for our transgressions. We don't want to go through that anything. We're gonna back down and say, no, I don't want to go in jail. I don't want to go to jail. I'm going to deny him. I don't want to go to jail. Well, I spent 66 days in jail for immigration. They tried to deport me. And while we were there, 68 people came to know Christ as the Lord and Savior. Because God used my mouth to talk to the people about his love. God allowed us to ordain a young man while we were there, give him a certificate to go back to British Honduras and be a preacher. You got to be ready to suffer. Be in a place with a group of men. Everybody passing gas and you in there. People, some people don't want to take a bath. You smell the sweat and all this stuff. You in there. But you're on assignment. You're just like Paul and Silas. You're just like Peter and John. We are on assignment for Christ Jesus. We must live and we must breathe this thing. Everything that we're doing is real. Everything that they're doing is real too. But it's not the truth. Understand, they're working for Satan. We're working for God. Their job is to convince us that Jesus is not real. And our job is to convince them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That no one can come to the Father except through him. We got to convince them that. But we got to show them this in love, in spite of how they hate us, because they believe that we hate them. Believe what I'm telling you. They believe that we hate them, but we got to show them the love of God. First, we got to start loving on each other. Unconditional love. There's too much deception in the church. Great contentious spirit in the church, in the house of the Lord. And we got to break that down with love, unconditional love, genuine love from the heart, from the inside out. Not with the mouth. Folk tell you that they love you, and the minute they get, they'll leave you behind. They throw you to the wolves. They'll give you to the lions, to the tigers. They'll throw you in the snake pit in a minute, Pastor. They tell you they love you, but in a second, if you don't do what they want done, they'll throw you in the pit with the lions and the tigers and the snakes. But they say they love you. Listen what he says. This is not love. This is sweet. Here, chapter 2 of 1 John. He says, verse 26, these things they have written to you concerning the ones who are trying to deceive you. And as for you, the anointing which you receive from me, from him, from God, remains in you. And you do not have need that anyone teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you reside in him. Well, you know, he's saying that Jesus, the Spirit of God, is teaching us. Yes, we still learn from each other. We still teach each other. But the Holy Spirit gives you a genuine teaching. He doesn't compromise the word. He brings all things to your remembrance, that whatever Christ has taught us, whatever he had penned down for us, that's why we got to study to show us ever proof unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Everything that we study, that we meditate on, the Holy Spirit brings back to our intellect. He brings back to our senses so that we can activate them and begin to walk in them. He said it resides in you. This is what it says. And then he admonished them. He said, and now, little children, remain in him, so that whenever he is revealed, we may have confidence and not be put to shame before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness has been fathered by him. Well, what is he telling you? When you look at people and you see that they're living that their lifestyle, you can tell without a doubt that they have the Spirit of God living on the inside. You can tell that he is their leader. He is their shepherd. He is their confidant. We can tell this. But when we find that we can't get along with each other, we don't have the same spirit. The woman of God said that there must be one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And that Lord that we serve is only one spirit. And we all have to have that spirit. When the apostles in the upper room waiting for the power, the endowment of the Holy Ghost, he didn't come until they get on one accord. The problem is that we are not on one accord. We talk one accord, but we're not on one accord. That's why there's such division. The world is more together than the house of the Lord. The world is more together, and I'm sorry to say that, but it's the truth. Because Satan has his plan. Look at the system that we're living in right now. They all go one way, downhill, to hell. And they're comfortable going to hell. Instead of we unite together as a strong body of believers to work for the kingdom, we think that kingdom building is getting a new car, getting a fine house, wearing the best clothes. That's not kingdom building. Kingdom building is, or kingdom establishment is winning souls. Telling people about Jesus. Telling people about the love that he has for the world. That he was willing to die on the cross. That he was willing to go to the cross and don't say one word, not even a mumbling word. He didn't stand up and fight for himself and say, look, I'm God. You can't do this to me. He was humble. He was obedient to the Father, even unto death. We can't even come together as one in believers. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. See, the spirit that's in the world is mean. He's not an easy spirit. And he's coming after you and I and us because he doesn't want to be in hell by himself. And if he can't get you and I, he's going to go after our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. That's why we have to pour into them the love of Christ. Even if they get mad because they're so distracted and deceived by their peers. They believe when we're telling them about Christ Jesus, that is a myth. But we got to keep on pressing. He says, for we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the disposition, against the powers, against the masters, spirits, who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural fear. Now, without reading that out of the Amplified, let's look at that in the King James. King James says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we understand that this thing that's in the world is strong. A lot of people say, well, they don't have no power. That's a lie. It has power. That's why we find ourselves deviating from the power of truth. Deviating out of the light and find ourselves drifting into darkness. So I don't have to go to Blog Talk Radio. I can have my own prayer session. I don't have to go to the church building. I can have church in my own house. Well, what the Bible says about that? Let's go to Psalm 133, I think it is. Let's go over there. Quick, fast, and hurry. He said, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. But why did God put this in the bank, in the book, that we don't have, and we shouldn't go into the building, and we shouldn't come together? Because God said, no, that one can put 1,000 flight, but two can put 10,000. We need to come together as one. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. Glory to God. I'm telling you, don't be deceived by the deception of this world. Open your spiritual eyes. Ask God to open your eyes. Because some folk got eyes and can't see. Got ears and can't hear. They hear what they want to hear, see what they want to see. But they're not seeing truth. And then you have the blind leading the blind. Those that think they know it all, but don't know anything. This is what he says. Glory to God. Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. This is what he says. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase of goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. This is what he's saying. As many as I love, I rebuke. See, folk don't want to be chastised. They don't want to be corrected. They want you to say what they want to hear. Anything that you say that they don't want to hear, it becomes offensive. And now they don't want to be in your presence. They don't want to be with you, but they still love Jesus. They say, I'm a disciple. I am an archbishop. I'm a chief apostle. I'm a deacon. I'm an usher. You understand what I'm saying? But he said, those that he loves, he chastised, or he rebuked and chastened. He said, be zealous, therefore, and repent. We think that we can ostracize ourselves from the body of Christ and that we go to heaven. I'm not going to fellowship with you all because I can't stand you. But I'm going to heaven. How are you going to go to heaven and be in the same choir that I'm in? Because I'm not going to heaven to preach. I'm going to heaven to worship him. I'm going to be with him in the new Jerusalem. We're going to be with him in the new Jerusalem to worship him, not to preach. So we have to get along here now in this sphere, in this realm. We have to repent, ask God to clean our heart, give us the right spirit, so that we can fellowship one with another, forgive each other, what the woman of God said last night, and practice walking together. And I don't mean forgiving. I say that you're not going to forget. Because so many of us say, well, I'll forgive her, I'll forgive him, but I ain't going to forget what he did to me. So as soon as her make one mistake, or he made one mistake, here you go off with yourself. Bent out of shape. Can't even give God true worship, because your heart is filled with malice, filled with jealousy, filled with conniving, filled with gossip. Can't even give God true worship, but see, you go to heaven. The devil is a liar. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. I will sup with him, and he will be. See, God wants to fellowship with us. He wants to fellowship with us in the fullness of who he is. Do you hear me? He wants to fellowship with us in the fullness of who he is. But what we have to do, I thank you, Apostle, we got to open the door to our hearts and let him in. We have to let him in. Let Jesus in. Hallelujah. Don't act like he's inside your heart when you're filled with junk. People, it's like driving your car, trash all over the car, and then somebody get in your car, you got excuses. Oh, I was thinking that when I get to McDonald's, when I get the Kentucky Fried Chicken, I want to get to Walmart or get Dr. Mason. I was going to clean up the car. I was going to put all the stuff in the trash can over there. You're lying. You weren't going to take it out. And we're going to stay there for days. Because that's how you keep your car. And that's the same way your spirit is full with junk. And the only way God going to be able to put what he needs, what he wants to put in us, is that we have to open the trunk to our soul. Open the trunk to our soul and ask God to help us to clean out the trunk. David said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. We got to ask God to help us. We can't do it. We've been carrying all this stuff for years. Some folk, 20, 30, 40, 50, 15, 20. 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 months, 2 months. Be carrying a whole bunch of stuff in your heart, but said you love Jesus. I'm talking about don't be deceived by the deception of the world. We almost there. Listen what he says. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and I'm sit down with my Father in his throne. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Jesus is speaking to us. We are the church. We are falling short of what God wants to do through us because we are stiff-necked and hardened hearts. We think that we are there, but we are not there. We are far from where God wants us to be. In order to get in line with where God wants to take us, the first thing we need to do is repent. Get back to your first love. Get back from where you've fallen from. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. I want to tell you something that this 3 days I've been working on this and this thing just blessed me. Acts chapter 17. Let's start at verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worship with men's hand, as though he needed anything. Seeing he goeth, he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Verse 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of the habitation. God, the Lord Jesus, has made all things for mankind. Everything. And he has given us one blood, his DNA. It's in us. Why are we acting like we're different from our brother, from our sister? Like we're better than our sister, we're better than our brother. We can't get along. See, when they fall in the Garden of Eden, things went topsy-turvy. It went every which way but the way that God wanted to go. So we pick up some things from the Garden of Eden by the enemy of the cross, Satan. And God's saying that the only way we're going to be able to do what he needs done is that we've got to come back to him with repentance. We have to repent. Turn to our Savior, we repented, so we can experience all that he's talking about here in the book of Acts. So now that the new blood can be transfused. Because the blood that's in us now is contaminated. It's contaminated from the sin of God, the Garden of Eden. So now we need a blood transfusion, a spiritual, supernatural blood transfusion. We need Jesus' blood to come and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. They wonder why we can get so mad and so upset I see you love the Lord. I can get so upset with our brother and sister. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Holy Spirit wants to talk to us, right? He tell me let go of the Logos Bible. Logos Bible has a lot of stuff in it, so to let go there. So we in King James. Mark chapter 16. And this is what he said to the believers. He says, and he said, 16 and 15. He says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, your job is to go. You have an assignment to preach the gospel, to declare the truth of God's word. This is your assignment. Not to fuss with your brother and sister. If your brother make a mistake, you ought to be able to come to your brother and say, no, brother, you made a mistake. But you want your brother or sister to come to you. They may not want to. But you should be able to go to your brother because that's your brother, that's your sister. Hallelujah. I had a man that a millionaire man I'm working for. And he come across the phone in a very bad way. And I had to check him on the phone. And not only I checked him in an ordinary way, not cussing or nothing like that. And I said, look, you can't talk to me like that. I respect you, respect me. I don't care how much money you got. I walk off the job. You can keep the money. Because God going to take care of me. Well, he came. He know he was wrong. I didn't cuss at him or nothing like that because I don't cuss anymore, you know. But my spirit wasn't right. I'm telling this. I don't have to tell you, but I'm telling you. My spirit was not right. My spirit was upset the way he talked to me on the phone. But, and ever since then, he comes to me now. And he says, man of God, I'm sorry. I hope we can get on the right page. I said, man, I left that stuff alone long time. I just had to let you know you can't talk to me any kind of way. Because I'm not going to talk to you any kind of way. I'm going to respect you as a man of God, as a child of God. And you got to respect me the same way. I don't care if I have 10 cars. If I have 12 houses. I have something that's greater than all the houses and cars in the world. I have Jesus living on the inside of me. I'm not perfect. Now, can I assure you, I get upset too. But I know where to draw the line. I know where to draw the line. Some things went on. And I called my daughter. I sent my daughter a text. And I said, look, she got a lot of stuff going on. And now I can hear that even last night when I listened to her preach, I could hear that the spirit, the anointing is coming back on her. It's coming back in her. The first two nights that she ministered for us, I could tell that was something little not right on. And she told me, she said, Dad, I'm so glad. Because I was dealing with some stuff. Even my pastor called me and talked to me. And she says, but I need to be back. I need to be back on Blog Talk really whenever chance I can get. I miss Blog Talk. But last night I heard her preaching and teaching. It was different. It was different. This is what God called us to do. We got to be together. Not about stuff. He told them, he says, go ye into all, not some, the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. Your assignment is not to get upset when he's saints the upper room. You can't read no place in the Bible. In the book of Acts, where the apostles were upset with each other. Only that one time in the upper room where they were trying to figure out who's going to be the leader. Now the sin is gone. Who's going to lead? Who's going to lead the pack? And they were going through a whole lot of stuff. But the Bible said when the spirit, the heart got on one accord, something happened. And see, we want the anointing. We want revival. But revival is not going to come if we have unrepentant hearts. All people going to sing out and shout, jump and shout and clap tambourines and play the drums and guitar, all that stuff. And they're going to sound good. People going to cry. People going to snort. But that's all that's just, emotion. They're going to cry and snort. But you're not going to see true revival until the people repent. All of us from top to bottom, the pastor got to get to the altar and let the people see him, see her, praying at the altar, begging God. Lord, come on in and touch my heart. Come on in and touch my spirit, Lord. Change me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. God, I come up short, Lord. Got to cry out. Yes, Lord, I preach well. I teach well, but Lord, there's something missing. My heart is hardened from time to time. I get upset with my fellow believers, fellow workers in the kingdom. You've got to talk out. Let people hear you. God knows. God that we serve knows everything about us. He knows the hair on our head, every toenail, every fingernail, every vein, every pore. And you got millions of pores on your body and on your skin. Millions of pores. But God sees every pore. Hallelujah. He the one that caused the sweat to come through them. God knows. But we have to crow and let the brother hear us sin. I get mad. I get upset. Some things upset me that people say. Let them know. And if they have a heart of God, they would say, brother, I'm sorry. Sister, I'm sorry. But you want to put your burden on somebody else. That's your burden. You got to release it. Let me give you another scripture. Go to John chapter 7. I'm not going to give you all this today. Come and do a part two of this teaching today. St. John chapter 7. Let me give you a couple more scriptures, and then we're going to pray. John chapter 7. We'll give you two more scriptures after this. John 12 and John. And then we go to Ephesians chapter 2. John chapter 7, here, St. John chapter 7. And we're talking, don't be deceived by the deception of this world. The world is full of tricks. The world is full of conniving, lying, and cheating. It's all here. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life. It's in the world. And the Bible said that the world passes away. Don't try to hold on to this world or the things of this world because they're all going to pass away. Try and be connected to Christ Jesus with everything that you can. And you get upset, park the car and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I just allow those people to enter into my mind and took possession of my mind. Caused me to get so mad. And sometimes you get so mad, some words come out of your mouth that you know shouldn't come out of your mouth. You cuss in your house. Cuss at your family member. You get upset. You get all vulgar. And get that stuff out. And see, the preacher don't hear you. The pastor don't hear you, but you cuss at your family members. I know because I used to. When I used to get upset, it would just flow out. But I asked God to take away that stuff off of my tongue. Clean it off. Then I don't let no person get into me that much that I got to cuss them out or cuss about them. No. And he took it away. Just the same way he took away the desire to want to smoke cocaine or drink any type of alcohol, any mood-changing substance. He took it away from me. Took it completely. John chapter 7 and verse 4. Jesus speaks. This book is awesome. Let's go to verse 1, John chapter 7. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee for he would not walk in Jewry. Because the Jews sought to kill him. Now, the Jews' feast of tabernacle of Passover was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence, leave this place, and go into Judea, that the disciples also may see the works that thou doest. Excuse me. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. You hear what he said? His disciples said, go and let these other folks see who you are, what you have done, what you can do. And the Bible said that neither did his brethren, the people in his neighborhood. You remember in his neighborhood that he grew up in and went to school in, the Bible said he could do no mighty works because of the unbelief of the people. He couldn't do a few things. There's some places in your city people don't believe in you. Most of them don't believe because they see and hear you every day. You can go and go to, you go to two cities over. Leave your city and go down to South Carolina, North Carolina. Go down to Florida and preach. Everybody want to come and hear you. Everybody's excited about the word. In your own neighborhood, they just take you for granted. He says, then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hit you, but me it hit it because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. Listen to Jesus. Jesus says the world gonna hit him. The world hit him because he testified of it. If you are preaching the truth and you're preaching against sin and you're preaching holiness, folk gonna despise you. Why? Because you're preaching about what they're doing. And if you're living holy, they're gonna hate you even the more. Because your lifestyle is going to convict them. It's going to trouble them. You're exposing, your light exposing the darkness. You hear what I'm saying? Jesus says to them, go up. Go up. Go up unto the feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. When the Jews saw him at the feast and said, where is he? And there were much murmuring about the people concerning him. For some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceived the people. See, there's going to always be two types of people. Everybody's not going to be in your corner. You must understand this. There's no reason to get upset because this one over here don't care too much for you, or that one over there don't like you enough. Understand this, because you have the anointing inside of you that destroys the works of the enemy. This anointing that's in us troubles the enemy. And it troubles everyone that represents the enemy. Understand what I'm saying to you this morning. Don't be deceived by the deception of the world. The word passes away. Glory to God. The Bible says, he says, howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knows this man letters, having never learned? Hear what they're saying. Jesus is speaking with authority. He's speaking with power. And he's speaking sound doctrine because he's sound doctrine. I want you to know that. He is the word. The word of God is sound doctrine from the beginning to the end. They say, how come he can speak this way? How come can he speak the way he's speaking? And he haven't been to the school of the prophets. How can he speak this way? That's what they're saying. No, he haven't been to the school of theology, but listen to how he's speaking. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not my mind, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. See, we have to be connected. When we are connected in the spirit, we'll know the true doctrine. We'll understand our brother. We'll understand our sister. We'll be able to communicate. Hallelujah. Sometimes you say so much without saying anything at all. My wife comes in the room, and I say things. She said, how you know that? I said, I'm your husband. I know how you feel. I know how you think. I know what's going on. If you connected to Christ, you're going to have the same discernment. The anointing that comes through Christ, you're a conduit. You are a conduit to carry the same anointing. It flows from him through you to others. But if it's about you, you only have your anointing. Your anointing is earthly anointing. But we need to get the heavenly anointing so that people around us will change. People will want to be saved. Know your assignment and fulfill your assignment. Nobody can stop me from doing my assignment. I don't care who you are. Nobody. And I say that with boldness. Nobody can stop me from doing my assignment. If I got to do it in the night, I do it in the night. If I got to do it in the day, I do it in the day. If I got to be here by myself, I do it by myself. But I'm going to do my assignment. I'm not going to wait till he come to judge the quick and the dead. And said, well, Lord, I ain't had nobody to help me, and I didn't do it. He said, I didn't give to everybody, I give to you. This is your assignment. Do your assignment. Don't complain because nobody's showing up on the line. Don't complain because nobody's showing up at the church building. You get down there. The pastor said he had to tell the lady, tell her, if you're going to preach, if there's nobody in the sanctuary, you go inside there. If you're called to preach, go in the sanctuary, open your Bible, pray, and start preaching. The Holy Spirit is enough to fill the sanctuary. It's enough to fill the sanctuary. And after you preach what God has given you, I'm going to tell you, you're going to feel like you have a full audience. You have this full sanctuary. I remember 2010, we remember some days that we had, oh, Lord, we didn't have no space on the computer. And then we had some people that come and think that they could break down Blog Talk Radio and shut it down because they believed that they would keep Blog Talk going. And then we shift from day to night, and we're going in like that, Evangelist Campbell and myself and the Holy Spirit. And my God, we start getting calls. I mean, we start getting calls from Holland, from Denmark. We start getting calls from Germany. People were just in boxes. I said, my God, how did they know this? And the person said, well, we heard you and this lady was on Blog Talk, and we was. I said, wow, God, you don't need a lot. All you need is the Spirit. All you need, Pastor, you know, you've been preaching for years. All you need is the Holy Spirit. That's all you need. You need a whole lot of people. Yes, it's good to have people, but you don't need a whole lot. You need the Holy Spirit. You can have a whole lot of people and don't have nothing. A whole lot of people don't have nothing, but when you have the Holy Spirit, you have everything. Everything, I'm telling you. Everything. Listen, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. Listen to Jesus speaking. Folk talk about how great they are, how great this other brother is, how great this other sister is. It is how great God is that's using that brother or using that sister. I'm not great. I lay on the bed and say, Lord, if you don't show up in the midst of this service, I'm not going to be able to deliver, even though I studied the scriptures. I went over the scriptures. I said, Lord, I'm not going to be able to do it. And then I said to myself, if I teach out the Logos Bible has such great translation inside the text. because it comes in two scripts. One side is the Bible teaching, and then another one is the explanation of the text that you're teaching. But the Holy Spirit just said, leave it alone. I want to flow through you. Let me flow through you. If you allow me to flow through you, I will speak to my people, his people. This is what we got to forget. We forget. We think it's about us. No, open your mouth and let God speak through you. And let him get the glory. All we want to do is get the glory. He says, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Hear what he's saying. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. I want the glory of God. The glory of God to rest upon each and every one of us. Hear what I'm saying. We want the glory of God to rest upon us. This Jesus said in John chapter 17. We are looking for praises and honor from each other and not the honor that comes from God. And we're both about each other. This body, this and this body, that. Where's Jesus in all this scenario? We give each other more praise than we give to God. Pastors in the room. Everybody stand up. Jesus was there all morning, all night. He was there even when before you open the door, but you don't give no praise. Soon as Pastor walked, all pastors in the room. Everybody got to stand up and admonish pastors. Nothing wrong with admonishing the man of God. But Jesus was in the room before you even get there. Having said, God, I thank you for your presence. Lord, I thank you for your presence. Listen, look what he says. Did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keepeth the law. Why go ye about to kill me? Excuse me. Moses gave them the law. They praise Moses, but they don't keep the law. The law came from God. They still talk about Moses today. Moses this, Moses this, Moses that. And less about Jesus. You can't hear a Jew talking. Excuse me. You can't hear a Jewish person talking without mentioning Moses. But how many of them talk about the Messiah? Very few, very little. Moses this, Moses that. Like Moses got a heaven or hell to put them in. You understand what I'm saying? We praise each other instead of praising God. I'm here today because of him. My arteries are open because of him. Hallelujah. My son is free from jail because of him. He didn't spend 23 years in jail, 22 years in jail. Spent two years because of him. When he gave me a prophetic word. Go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. I want to give you a couple more, and then we're going to stop. I got enough for another full day. John chapter 12. And then we'll stop there. The next scripture is Ephesians chapter 2. But I think we'll stop here at this room. John chapter 12 and verse, let's start at verse 25. Let's start at verse 23. Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, or surely, surely, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Jesus is now talking about his crucifixion. He's talking about it. He says, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Jesus began to be troubled in his spirit. His spirit became heavy in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he asked the Father if it was possible, take this cup from him. He said, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He said, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of the world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Jesus speaks of his death on the cross. You can read this chapter for yourself. It's a powerful, powerful chapter. But Father, we want to stop right there. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for the word that you have given us today. And Lord, we ask you to continue to bless us with ears to hear, with a mind to understand, and a heart to receive. Oh God, we pray for Apostle Linda Washington and for Bishop James Washington. For Apostle Millie Jefferson, Lord, we ask you to keep them as the apple of your eye. God, we ask you to protect them against all hurt, harm, and danger. Shield them against the tricks of the enemy. Lord, allow them to continue to stay in your work. Stay in the vineyard. The vineyard is wide. It's plentiful, but the labors are few. We ask, O God, that you use them for your glory. Forgive them of any shortcomings, O God, as you forgive me of my shortcomings. And Father, we pray now, God, for that one that don't know Jesus. And we're going to read it from my card that I have here. And so that Mother Grant, she can come on in after that and do the prayer of salvation. Read her scriptures. Your soul is immortal. It will never die. But as it separates from your body, there are two possible destinations for heaven: eternity with God, everlasting happiness, or eternity without God, everlasting suffering. There is only one person in the world with the ability to choose where you are going to live eternally. You may say that person is God, but God says in his word, the Bible, that that person is you. You, only you can choose or determine the eternal destination of your soul. You may, if you wish, choose heaven now. But if you think you can leave this matter for another time, the choice of eternity without God will have been chosen for you. If you die right now, this is where you will go forever. If you do not die now, be still walking towards eternity without God. Certainly you would prefer to go to heaven and be sure that you will enjoy heaven. This is what you must do. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Ephesians 2:8-9 says, you must recognize for by grace you have been saved, and it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Number 3, you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me. Jesus did not say he was one of the ways. He said, I am the way. Accept Jesus Christ as your only Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Acts 16:31. Jesus said, behold, I am coming quickly. He didn't say I was coming quick. He said, I'm coming quickly. That means quicker than quick. Revelation 22:7. And he that does not believe the Son, Jesus, the wrath of God abides on him, John 3:36b. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him, Jesus, will not be ashamed. That's Romans 10:9, 10, and 11. In Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord or God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostle doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in praise. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. In the book of Acts 4, starting at verse 10, he says, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him did this man stand here before you whole. Now, this is the man that Peter and John prayed for at the gate called Beautiful, that was crippled and that was brought there every day to beg alms. But one day when Peter and John was entering into the temple, Peter saw the man was looking on them, looking to accept some gift from them. But Peter told him to fast his eyes upon them. He said, silver and gold have I none, such as I have I give unto thee. Rise up in the name of Jesus Christ and walk. And Peter reached and took him by his right hand. And the Bible says that the man began to get strength in his ankle bone, his knee bone, and all the bones of his feet. And he began walking and leaping and praising God. And he followed them into the temple. So Peter let them know that it wasn't him or John, but it was Jesus that healed the man. This is the stone which was set at naught, Jesus, of you builders. These are the ones that were supposed to build a kingdom, set up to build a kingdom, to tell, to share the gospel, to share the law, the books of Moses, which become the head of the corner. Jesus is now the head of the corner. He is the one that keep the body of believers together. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only way. He is the truth and he is life. We share that. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. See, they recognized they got what they have by being with Jesus. And beholding the man with which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. The man was made whole again. The Bible is clear. Only Jesus can save your dying soul. Only Jesus can put the light back in where darkness has overcome your soul. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is a good day that you can reach out and touch the hem of his garment just like the woman with the issue of blood. You can reach out, reach in, and touch him right now. With all of your sins, all of your sickness, all of your complaints, you can reach out and touch him right now. And just say this morning with us, the Lord Jesus, I heard the word this morning and I'm touched by what I heard. But I recognize from what I hear that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Just say it. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I come in now according to the book of Romans. I'm confessing my sins, Lord, and my sins are many. I'm confessing before you and before man. Lord Jesus, I'm denouncing Satan and the world system and all that it stands for.
And okay, it's good.
It's a package.
Father God, raise you up on Thursday. So I'm confessing now. And I have the expectation that as you make
me crying out from the depths of my soul, that you are setting me free right now. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior and my soon coming King. If you believe that, what you just said with your mouth, you have just received the gift of salvation. And our recommendation that you get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Study it for yourself. And studying means to go over the word. That's what it means. To go over until this word get into your heart. When it get into your heart, then you know you have received the gifts that only come from God, okay? And call a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize, and tell them that you received the gift of salvation, but you want to be baptized. According to Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, and 18, and according to Acts 2 and 38, you have to be baptized. Baptism is part of the salvation. Hallelujah. And before you get baptized, you want to invite your friends, your family, and your co-workers. Why? Because this is the most important day of your life. This is where you become a new creature or creation in Christ Jesus. You become a new creation. So you want people to be witnesses of this time. You don't want to go and it's just like going to have a picture taken, but there's no photographer. You understand? You want people to be there to see, to experience this newness that's going to take place in your heart, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That day. So you want people to see it. Invite your friends, your co-workers. Invite your family. Anybody that you can get, even your enemy, invite them. Why? You want them to see. You want them to see that you have totally given your life to Christ. It's not a figment of your imagination. You know, some people say, well, I surrender. But as you look at them and you hear them, you can tell. You're not a judge, but you can tell they haven't given their life to Christ, because their life, their living does not exemplify that they have given their life to Christ. They say they give their life to Christ, but they're living like the devil. You know, when you give your life to Christ, completely give your life to Christ, change come over you. The songwriter says, a change come over me. I'm no longer the same. I'm no longer the same. Hallelujah. So we just thank God for those that receive the gift of salvation, those who are going to receive at a later date. And we pray God blesses over each and every one of you today. Hallelujah. When you come up out that water, you're going in, we call it a liquid grave. My Lord, you come up out that water shouting. I came up out the water running. I came up, I was running. I couldn't stop running. Oh, my God, I can still remember like it was today. I was so excited. I've never experienced anything. I smoked a lot of cocaine before, but I never got this high. And it didn't cost me one penny. It cost my Savior everything. I tell you, I was running and shouting, crying and snorting everything. And the lady that was responsible, Elder Izzy, she said, leave him alone. That's the Holy Ghost. Leave him alone. I was running, crying, and thanking God because my life felt, I could feel something was taking over my heart. This is what it's all about. And then you get it filled into a church, get yourself connected to a church,
And my Lord, begin to work. Do something. Don't just go to hear the pastor preach. Tell the pastor, I heard the word. I want to do something. What can I do in the church to help the church? Don't be just a spectator. Become a participator. Start doing some work. So we thank God for all you all that heard the word today. And now we're going to ask Mother Grant to come on in. Come on in and read. Pray God's blessings over her. Come on in and read.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, Mother.
Praise the Lord, and good morning to everybody on the line this morning. God bless you. Blessing on the word that you bring forth. I'm here in North Carolina. We're spending some time.
Praise the Lord.
With my daughter. Yeah, me and my grandson and great-grandson. You bring them off for spring break. So God is good. We
Praise
have a
Lord.
Good night coming. And everything is in God's hands. My reading, let's say, we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. Hebrews 13:6. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficient is from God. 2 Corinthians 3:4-5. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am help, my heart exalt, and with my song I give thanks to him. Psalms 28:7. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Ephesians 6:10. In your strength I can crush an enemy. With my God I can scale any wall. Psalms 18:29. We are surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. Isaiah 26:1. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. Psalms 37:39. The Lord will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithfulness promise are your armor and protector. Psalms 91:4. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is a faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. Deuteronomy 7:9. The Lord always keeps his promise. He is gracious in all he does. Psalms 145:13. The Lamb in the midst of the throne will be your shepherd, and he will guide them to spring of living waters. Revelation 7:17. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Proverbs 15:3. I will be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair is white and age. I made you and I will care for you. I will carry you alone and save you. Isaiah 46:4. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithfulness, love endured forever. Psalms 106:1. And may God and his blessing to his word. Amen. Amen.
Ooh, thank you so much. Mother Grant, I pray that you have a great time with your daughter and your family, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I pray that God bless you to get back safe and all goes according to his plan. In the mighty name of Jesus. So we just thank God for you, and we open the line, but I know there's people on the line that's not going to say anything, so no one wants to say anything. We are going to pray and close out, and we'll be back here tomorrow morning. The Lord say the same. In Jesus' holy name.
Amen.
Yes. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for those that came on the line today and heard the word. Lord, we ask your protection. We ask your guidance. We ask your love, mercy, and grace to continue to rest and abide upon us. Lord, we ask that you continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath, that you make us the lenders and not the borrowers, Lord God. God, we pray that the blessings will be released so that, God, that we can be a blessing to the widows, the fatherless, the motherless, the homeless, and to the orphans. God, we thank you for the work that you are giving us, that we are able to help those that are less fortunate than us, O God. We pray, Father God, that even as we leave this line today, but never your presence, we pray and knowing that your presence will go with us, because you said in your word that you will never leave us or forsake us, that you will be with us even unto the end of age. Lord, we ask that you continue to watch over the United States of America. God, we are on the borderline of full-blown war, nuclear war. Lord, we ask you, Father God, to just watch over Israel, watch over Jerusalem, watch over Syria, Egypt, Japan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, and Iran, Syria. Lord God, we ask you to watch over Brazil, watch over Denmark, Holland. Lord, watch over Germany, watch over England, watch over the Caribbean islands. Lord, we ask you, watch over the Windward and Leeward Islands. Oh, Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you watch over Russia, watch over the Ukraine. Oh, God, all of those islands down there, the Philippine Islands, all of those islands down there and all over Europe, God. We are praying, God, that you, oh, God, continue to touch this president of the United States that don't know which way is up. Touch the vice president, oh, God. Touch the Congress, the senators. Oh, God, the Supreme Court Justice Department, the local magistrates, oh, God, and judges, touch the police department, the fire department. Lord, we ask you, oh, God, to touch families, touch the teachers, touch the children in the school. So many children have access to guns. Oh, God, we ask you to touch them right now, Lord God, and touch the families that are teaching their kids how to shoot but not teaching their kids how to be spiritually controlled. Oh, God, and manage their own spirit, oh, God. We pray, Father God, for the doctors, for the nurses, oh, God. We pray for the EM, oh, God, and for the janitors in the hospitals and all janitors. God, we pray now for husbands and wives, Father God, for marriages. So many people are getting divorced, Lord. We pray, God, and even for those that are about to get married. We pray, Father God, that you give them the mindset to go into the marriage with the right mind, not with the going in there to say, well, if it don't work out, I'm going to walk out. Lord, but give them a mindset to say, I'm going in there, I'm going to do all that I got to do, all that I can do to make my marriage work. Father, I just pray today, Lord God, for the sons and daughters, oh God, that these sons that are beating their mothers and beating their fathers, oh God, and even murdering their fathers and the parents that are murdering their children, we pray against that spirit of suicide. We pray against the spirit of murder right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we declare it right now. We pray for Apostle Stewart, Pastor Joyce Stewart. Yes, Lord, we ask you to keep them, Lord God. He is on. He was on the line last night. He come on for a while and just jump off. We pray, oh, God, for him. He was on here all day. We pray, Father God, for you to keep their ministry, Lord. Continue to add to their ministry, oh, God. And, Father, we ask you to send new people to Blog Talk Radio, people who want to hear the truth, people who want to be part of the truth. And, Father, we ask you to, oh, God, keep us. Lord, you kept us from 2010, and I know you're going to keep us the rest that you call us home. Oh, Father, we just thank you and praise you, oh, God, for the anointing that's on this here church line, God. We thank you and praise you, God. And even those that come on and don't say anything, we ask you to bless them. Bless them, oh, God, to let them know that they're not holding their tongue back from me, but it's to you. Oh, God, they don't give you glory. And, Father, we ask you, God, now as we leave this line, but never your presence, oh, God. We ask you, oh, God, to have mercy upon us, oh, God. Have mercy. Order all steps in your word. Strengthen our body, Lord. Strengthen our heart. Open our arteries. Keep our arteries free that the blood flow freely. God, we ask you that we come against the spirit of diabetes. We come against the spirit of asthma, God. We come against emphysema, COPD. We come against, oh, God, brain tumors, breast tumors. We come against lung cancer, heart, throat cancer, Lord. We come against colon cancer, oh, God, prostate cancer, liver cancer, bladder cancer. We come against it right now. Every form of cancer, bone cancer, we come against every form right now of cancer, Lord. And we plead the blood of Jesus on the spirit of cancer right now. We plead the spirit of the blood of Jesus upon it right now. And Father, we destroy it at the root right now. We destroy every yoke of cancer. Every yoke of cancer, we destroy it right now. And we command it to die right now. The spirit of homosexualism, we destroy it right now. And oh God, we destroy the spirit, oh God, of suicide right now. Murder. Yes, Lord, the spirit of, oh God, abuse, Lord, we destroy it right now in the name of Jesus. We declare peace in our nations, peace in the nations all over the world. We declare it right now, no suicide bomber. God, we come against that spirit, oh God, that want to destroy the world. They did not create the world, and they can't destroy the world. We come against that spirit, oh God, of nuclear destruction, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, we are careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen, amen. You all have a blessed day. We talk to you soon. God bless you.
God amen. Bless you. God
Thank
bless
you so much,
you.
Mother.
Have a blessed day.
Thank you.
Amen.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.